Welcome to the Josh Ryan Show, a weekly podcast where I sit down and chat with highly successful digital entrepreneurs, experts, and creators to uncover their stories, secrets, and lessons that they've learned along the way to help you with your own projects. Let's get into today's interview. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. So this week, I did not have a new interview ready as I spent the past few weeks traveling around. So instead of missing a week, I'm bringing you an old podcast interview I did with viral social media star Harry Jelsey from back in 2019. Now, Harry has an interesting story that we go into in the interview, but in essence, he first got into social media management at a similar time to me, the mid-2010s, before he went ahead and won a reality TV show, Heartbreak Island, to which he then launched his own successful business on the back of that audience that he had gained from it. Then, right after this interview was recorded, he starred in Netflix's own reality show, Too Hot to Handle, in which he used a few marketing tricks that he discusses in this podcast to catapult his success, go viral, and gain over 4 million followers on Instagram in the space of a couple of weeks. Off the back of this exposure, he then went on to launch many more successful businesses and become a pretty mainstream influencer within the Los Angeles sort of setup. To date, this is still one of the only interviews he's done centered around business, marketing, and sharing the strategies that he used behind the scenes to actually grow and monetize his audience. Quick disclaimer though, please know that this was recorded early 2019, so the timeline on some things discussed by both me and Harry will be a bit out, but that should be expected, and his opinions as well as my own on some topics may well have changed since then. Anyway, I hope you enjoy it, and I'll be back next week with a brand new guest again. So make sure if you're enjoying these discussions, leave a review, tell a friend, and that's it. Enjoy the podcast. Today, we've got Harry Jelsey. He's a 21-year-old social media influencer, entrepreneur, and winner of the Kiwi TV show, Heartbreak Island. Welcome to the show, man.
G'day, g'day. Thank you for having me. This is actually such an honor to be my first ever, you know, podcast and like serious interview about business and stuff like that. People usually just want to kind of laugh at me about going on TV. So this is good and refreshing, and I'm excited.
No worries, man. Yeah. So that's sort of like where the first question was. Many people know you from like being on TV or from Instagram. I mean, you've got a decent Instagram following, but what else do you do like aside from that?
So yeah, the TV stuff kind of set me off well, because I was at uni, I was doing a double degree in business and art in Australia. And like, I was enjoying it. I've got a great group of friends there and stuff like that, but I just didn't really see that. It just didn't feel right. It didn't feel like it was me at the time. And then the show kind of came up and I was going through some troubles with, a couple mates, and unfortunately killed themselves and stuff like that. So I was just having a rough time at uni, and then this show popped up and I was like, look, I'm going to do it. And then, yeah, so I went on the show, had an amazing time, met some amazing people, and then kind of formed a very strong relationship there with my best friend and business partner, Christian. And as soon as I got back off the island, me and him just started hustling and, yeah, just put one foot in front of the other. And, yeah, kind of launched an app as soon as the show aired, and we were cruising straight into this sunglass company. Apart from the TV stuff, it's kind of what I've been focusing on at the moment, is just business and social media and stuff like that.
Yeah, you launched an app, did you say?
Yeah. So I teamed up with these amazing guys called Macroactive, and essentially it's your own app where you can have clients and stuff come on and kind of sort their fitness goals. Because my Instagram and my social media is so fitness orientated. Like, I'm usually shirtless, by a pool, I tried to rein it in, but I'm always in the gym, and it just made sense for me to launch that and to do that with these guys. As soon as I got back, I think we had about, there was a couple of weeks there when I decided I wanted to pull the trigger on it. And yeah, within 4 weeks we had it up and running, and yeah, that started cranking. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah. And you were already doing a bit of business stuff beforehand, right? You were working with Reese with social media and stuff, correct?
Yeah, yeah. So Reese Vincent, one of my good mates from high school, he is just, you know, a workhorse. So he's been dived like headfirst in the social media world as soon as it kind of happened. And yeah, me and him kind of worked alongside each other for a bit, bounced ideas and yeah, we had a few big things happening, but because I was at uni and because I had this show pop up, I had to pull away. But me and Reese still work together and yeah, have the occasional meeting here and there. That's kind of how all that started, because when I was at uni, I remember just laying in bed at night and I was like, this social media shit's going to be huge. And I was just like, oh, I got to figure out how to crack it. And then I went from 5K to 30K. I think I grew 700% in like 11 months. I guess it's just 11 months is kind of a long time, but it was just consistent effort and trial and error until I figured out kind of what was working for my social media and then other accounts. And then I started growing other people's. But it's just, yeah, I guess it's like anything. If you put hard work into it, it will happen.
Yeah, for sure. And with social media, like the time's passing anyway. So if you're doing something actively in a year's time, you can have results. If you're not, you're going to be in the same spot. So
yeah, exactly.
Where did the idea come about for a sunglasses brand? Like, is that just something, do you guys just love sunglasses, or was that just a gap in the market? What sort of spurred that?
So when we were on the island, myself and Christian kind of sat down, had a chat, and I got sent a whole stack of sunnies from Key Australia before I went on. And because I was kind of just, I had a stylist at the time, and I told him that this is what was going to happen, and if you could sort me some clothes and stuff like that, because no one really likes to pay for clothes. So Key Australia sent me a stack of sunnies, and in all honesty, I just thought they were trash. I was like, the quality sucks. The packaging really missed the mark. And these guys are doing, you know, amazing. And, you know, I was by the pool and having a chat to Christian about it. And I was like, there's a bit of a gap here for young people. Like Key's been around for like 11 or so something years. MVMT doing amazing stuff. But the quality and the price point for a lot of the sunnies is just a little bit ridiculous, especially like designer sunnies and stuff like that. When, you know, we went to the factories and we saw exactly where all these big brands are being made. And, you know, as young people, we don't want to see other young people get ripped off and kind of walked all over by these big corporate brands just because because they want you to pay for a label. So
yeah.
So that's kind of where we just wanted to, you know, disrupt the market and do something different. So it's been about 4 months since we've launched. It's been cranking. It's been good.
Yeah. Yeah. I see you guys all over the show, especially a lot of Kiwi influencers and that have been mentioning you guys. I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah. We started because I'm Australian. So I was just like, we're just going to tackle Aussie head on. But obviously we've got a bit of media and stuff behind us over here because of the show and good connections. So we kind of failed at the start because we were just going straight for Aussie and it just didn't really make sense. So now we've done all the shit jobs and we've narrowed down and we've fine tuned our audience. It's been good. We're really focusing on New Zealand because we know that, you know, we've got amazing clients here. And we can get them the product overnight. And if they don't like it, it'll be back within a day. And, you know, like it's real fast flowing. It's good.
Yeah. So do you guys have like fulfillment centers in New Zealand, or do you like drop ship it sort of thing? Like, do you have your own fulfillment centers, or are you?
So we like do everything, bro. Like we have all the stock with us, like in the house.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, yeah. So we like because we wanted to go straight into a 3PL. We didn't want to drop ship because there's a lot of lack of quality control and you can't really check the product and personalize it. So what we like to do is whenever someone orders, we're going to go through and we're going to, you know, check if they've ordered before or kind of like a little bit of background, like if they follow our Insta or something like that, and we'll go on, we'll write them a personalized card, you know, because we are a small company, we want to make that connection with our clients and build up our brand, you know, with our first customers. So we, so we do it all by ourselves, but we are moving into a 3PL, I think, at the end of this week. It's just because it's getting a bit much at the moment, and we can't kind of keep on top of all the orders and get work done.
We're
moving to a 3PL within, I think, like by Friday or something. So
Oh, awesome. What sort of struggles have you come up against, like, with launching this? Like, has it been reasonably smooth, or have you had like a lot of shit just go wrong?
Well, essentially, like, Christian and I are just two silly reality TV boys and we've never done this before. Christian's very switched on with this stuff, so it's been a massive leg up for the company, that he just sits down and hustles through it. And I think I've been pretty good with the social media stuff because we blew up at the start, got a whole stack of followers and stuff like that. But yeah, there's been a few things that we missed and a couple of things, like we paid for a couple Love Island influencers. So Erin, just as the Love Island launched, we did a giveaway with her. But then we sent, I think it was like a week later, we sent one of my mates, Eden. So Erin and Eden, if you didn't watch the show, dated, broke up, whole bunch of drama. We sent him some sunnies and then posted a photo of him like a week later, just after we did the giveaway or while it was still active. And we kind of didn't think that the fans of the show would really be that invested, but there, a lot of people dropped off and there was, you know, we missed the mark on a couple things, but I guess that was the best thing about doing it, is because we could sit there and learn from our mistakes. And there was, you know, advertising, like Facebook ads and stuff like that. Like, I thought I could just go on, push a few buttons, and we'd be making, you know, $1 billion. But it doesn't work like that. So we've upskilled a lot in the past couple months, and it's been like, it's been eye-opening, and it's probably been the best thing I've ever done. Just because, you know, just all the front on responsibility, you know, like the costs and all that stuff, and like making sure everyone's happy and all this amazing stuff that comes around business. It's been very eye-opening, and it's been wicked, and there's been a lot of lessons.
For sure. Like, and sourcing product overseas was fine, like that went smooth, or?
Oh man, absolute chaos. Like, so we flew into China and we had all these designs that we wanted. And we went to an optics fair. Mind you, we didn't realize how big it was going to be. And the fact that where we went was kind of like deep China, so they don't really see 6'5" white guys with blue eyes walking around every day. So when we went in there, we were like automatic celebrities. Like, it was just weird. It was a crazy experience. But we went into this big optics fair where there was 700 stores, like manufacturers. So like 3 days, and we went over and just powered through all of them. We found where Key was made, we found where Steve Madden, all these big, like, just pretty much every brand that you could think of, we found all their factories, where they're made, what's happened, like Ray-Ban as well. Like, found that they actually, they get them all the products, all the parts made there, and then they just get them sent to like Italy, and they tighten the screw, and then, you know, technically made in Italy. But yeah, we out of all the 700, I think we found three that we were like, yep, this quality is unmatched, perfect. And then we went, I think like a couple of hours before we were meant to fly out, we just went to one of the factories and we met all the workers, It was like a lifestyle factory. We had all our designs and we wanted to kind of crank on with it. And they were just like, yeah, we can do everything you want. And it was just seamless from then on. So yeah, it's been like the sourcing was pretty wicked and it was pretty eye opening. I don't know. Have you been to China?
I haven't actually. Europe and America. I've been to Bali, but not that's the only part of Asia I've been to.
Yeah, no. When you go like deep China, man, it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy because they don't have like Instagram or like Facebook as well.
Yeah.
So that was probably one of the weirdest, because I didn't see it coming. I'm like, oh, surely they've got, you know, Facebook and Google and everything here, but nah.
It's just WeChat, right? Or something like that.
Yeah. 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 WeChat holds all the power over there. It's crazy.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I'd say definitely do it, man. Cause it's, you know, it's just a massive and amazing like culture over there and everyone's lovely, but we had so many photos taken. It was just such a struggle to get through all the manufacturers and meet everyone and get their business cards and stuff like that, because everywhere we'd go, someone would be like, can we get a photo?
Yeah, I had a friend that traveled like through like some of the like smaller towns in Japan, and she said she was just getting people stopping her for photos everywhere.
It's crazy, man. And you know what else, if you know like a little bit of Chinese or a little bit of Japanese, they appreciate that so much, because they're trying so hard to learn about our culture and learn English and stuff like that. If you show them, you know, that you're doing the same, they just like love it, man. Like it's incredible. They're amazing people.
Yeah. I actually noticed the same when I went to Europe, because everyone told me before I go, like, if you don't speak French, everyone in France is going to be like horrible to you. They're going to treat you bad, like, and all over Europe. And I just learned little bits and like people just loved it. And it was like, yeah, I had none of that bad experience everyone told me about.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I guess culture is just one of those amazing things that kind of, once you start learning about other people's cultures and stuff like that, they usually like open their arms and yeah, everyone's, I don't know, very lovely.
Yeah, for sure. So if someone's listening to this now, they want to go into e-commerce and build a brand online and become successful in 2019, what would be your like main tips for them, main pieces of advice you could pass on?
I think the biggest thing would be make sure your imagery and your brand story is superb. So that was one of the biggest things that we missed at the start, and something that we're consciously working on at the moment is our brand story and who we are as a brand. And I think, you know, you want to have clear branding, a clear and, you know, gorgeous product photos, because, you know, obviously everyone's very visual. And they want to feel how, doesn't make sense. But they, I'm trying to word this without sounding like a wanker. but I just have clear and amazing imagery and branding and, an amazing brand story. And of course have your social media on lock. Like make sure you're, That was probably the biggest thing that we struggled with, is our feed structure was poor. And we found that all our traffic essentially was coming from our Instagram and social media. And we were just missing a lot of that because we didn't have a clean and tidy feed.
Yeah.
And you know, 2019, it's all about social media and it's all about online. And if you're running, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars into your Facebook ad spend and stuff like that, and people come across your page and it just doesn't look right or doesn't feel right, they're not going to fall in love with that. That's probably the biggest thing, is just make sure your Instagram's on lock. Well, most businesses have already been done before, so find a brand that you want to be like, and not necessarily replicate, but see what they're doing, study what they're doing, and write down key points. Like, how can you beat them and be bigger and better than them in 6 months? find things that they're failing at. Like, that's exactly what we did with Key and MVMT. You know, we're not necessarily bigger than them now, but give us a couple years. And 100% back yourself. That would be obviously, I think that's the number one rule in life, is back yourself and ask for help. I found that we just thought we knew it all. And there's people around everyone that have, you know, that have started their own company and have seen some success in some sort of way. And once you start talking to people, whether it's in a bar, cafe, or just on the street, someone may like has probably been there in your position in one way or another. They like offer advice. Like we're so lucky that we have the most amazing business people around us to help guide us. We've been very lucky and very, very fortunate.
Those direct like contacts and relationships and people you can bounce ideas off is just so valuable.
100%. Yeah, the biggest thing would be to talk, vocalize, and put your ideas out there. And if someone's listening, you know, they can better that idea. They can agree or disagree. And I think that's the best thing about having a partnership, because me and Christian will be working on completely separate things. But if I have an idea or whenever it is, we'll just bounce it off each other, build on that idea, and then turn it into an actual thing and then something that's profitable.
Because does he very full-time as well?
So me and Christian live together and live, breathe, and sweat this brand. So I'm more, I have like social media and shit, but it's not really like, so like being a social media influencer isn't really consistent kind of money. Yeah. It's good money. You get paid a lot more money in New Zealand than anywhere else in the world, but it's not my main focus. I'm not too fussed on being an influencer. I think my biggest thing would be my end goal is to be big enough to help be a positive impact on a lot of people. So that's my end goal with my Instagram.
Yeah, I think people almost like overrate being an influencer. Like, they don't see all the work that goes behind it, and then you sort of get there and it's like, what's next so much? I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like you definitely know, because you've got like a fucking billion followers. but like, yeah, it's honestly, it's difficult and it's a lot of work. Like, I couldn't imagine doing how you do it. You know, like, I just take a couple pics here and there. You know, you got to think of smart things to say and grow on that. But like, I've had mates tell me that, if I wanted 10,000 followers, like, it wouldn't be hard. But like, you don't understand the time and effort. And like, I know people who say, even about YouTube as well, I've had people come up to me and talk about, you know, they reckon they could be big on YouTube, but you have to understand how much work goes into that. Like, YouTube videos are just nuts. Like, that's just so, like, if you don't know how to edit quick, like, that's 2 or 3 days down the drain for like no reward, because you have to build that like audience up. So yeah, social media is a difficult game if you're not like determined and yeah, ready to kind of give it everything.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm lucky with my pages. I've got an awesome dude that like just manages them, so I get to focus on like bigger picture stuff. But
yeah,
especially with YouTube, like, because I know a few YouTubers and they might put out like 2 videos a week, and that's literally consuming their whole week, is filming, editing, getting it all sorted. And then people are like, I could do that. So it's crazy.
Yeah, 100%. People will say, you know, you guys have it so easy and this and that, but it's so, so difficult. Like, YouTubers, like, I feel they put the most work in out of anyone. I guess they get the highest reward because their audience is kind of like super loyal. Like, you find that YouTube audiences are just way more loyal than like Instagram and stuff like that. It's
crazy. Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you can get yourself, like, if someone's consuming 20 minutes of your content a day, like, you're going to get a better sort of engagement and a better loyalty than seeing pictures, I guess. It's sort of comes down to, I get, at the end of the day.
100%.
Now, switching a bit like to Heartbreak Island, what was it like being in a competition, like competition slash dating in a film TV show that goes all over the country? Was that a weird place to be?
Yeah, and it's like, it definitely is weird, and it's definitely such a foreign concept. You know, Heartbreak Island was probably one of the best things, or the best thing I ever did. But being on the island itself is just insane, because you've got, so I had to get it out of my head, because when I was on the plane, like I was getting, you know, when you sit down and you can't think about anything else but what you're about to do. When I was on the plane, all I was doing was overthinking like about it. And I had to get it out of my head that it was, my main thought was like, these people are trying to make money off me. They're going to exploit me. They're going to make, like, I was just thinking down on the show. But as soon as I got there, I realized everyone was lovely, and it was more, it's like, I don't know, the cameras in your face, especially like at night laying in bed and there's like cameras above your bed and stuff like that, was weird for the first couple days. And then once you're there and you're involved and invested, it's like next level. It's weird. Like, it's just an amazing holiday, just with the most drama and, you know, whatever you can think of, all the stuff they showed on TV was probably 1% of the actual drama that went down. Like, there was almost people like having scraps and, you know,
really
screaming wars. It's crazy. It's an amazing experience, but it's the most mentally challenging thing anyone could ever do. Like, on legit, like, honestly, the most mentally challenging thing that you could do.
Did you guys have to like sort of stage different things for it or not? Or was it pretty like authentic?
So they pretty much just point a camera at you and then you go crazy. And I think the only things that were staged was sometimes you'd have to walk in to like, say, the challenge arena like 3 or 4 times, because I'd have to get drone shots, close-ups, this and that. The only thing that they'd record stuff a couple times from a couple different angles.
Yeah.
You could be having a conversation with someone, and like they'll get the whole conversation, but there'll only be one camera there. So they'll just be like, you know, I know you guys are done with your conversation. Can you just keep talking so I can get the other angle? And that would be it. Like, it wouldn't, they wouldn't be like, hey, you need to say this about this person, this and that. I think I was pretty bad with that anyway. I would just be at dinner and I'm like, oh, there's a bit of drama here. I'm just going to throw it up in the air. like I would just call shit.
Yeah, I think you did a pretty good job of that from the clips I've seen. You had some pretty good one-liners.
I went full Australian mode when I was there. I went crazy.
Yeah, they must have loved you playing that sort of character, I guess.
Yeah. No, it was the best fun. Like, the crew, the production company, everyone was amazing. Some of the cast weren't so amazing, but that's, you know, that's what you get when you put a mixed bag of people on an island. You get a crazy amount of drama.
Yeah. Do you stay in touch with a bunch of the people from it, like, that you met?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No way. I stay in touch with a couple of the boys and a few of the girls here and there. Like, we're all good. But you got to understand that you weren't mates like beginning this experience, so you can't really hold on to it and expect to be mates after it, because everyone has different lives and is a completely different person once you get off that island. So, you know, people got back, saw other people's true colors. And then, it was just chaos. I think there's more drama off the island when we were back than there was when we were there.
For real. Yeah, it must be weird, like, filming it and doing all of that, and then it comes out, like, I don't know how many months later, 2, 3, 4 months later, and you sort of it's running in time. Like, I don't know. That would be weird to me.
Yeah, it was weird. So, because Love Island, just got announced and it started screening. Ours got pushed back even further. So we had to wait 6 months. So I had 6 months where I knew that I won the show, but I completely forgot about it. And, you know, there was so much stuff that happened in between all of that. And then once it kind of the launch party and everything happened, we all have to pretend to be best buds and kind of pretend to know each other, but not know each other because we can't let the media get any sort of idea of what happened. So I think that was probably the weirdest thing is, you know, with all the beef that went down and
just
feeling proper two-faced because you have to be, you know, nice to each other, but you don't like each other.
Yeah. Did you have to hide from the media that you are absolutely balling in prize money afterwards?
Yeah. Yeah, man, I had to, make it real, real low key. So they don't pay you until it's fully aired.
So
I was kind of, I was low key. I pretty much forgot about it because I've legit got the memory of a goldfish. So until it kind of happened, it was at the back of my mind. And and then kind of once that money came through, I was like, fuck, this is sick.
Awesome. How'd you manage to win it? What's the key for anyone on the show planning on going into one of these things?
So pretty much I think the fact that I partnered up with someone who was good at the challenges, and I was okay at the challenges, but it was difficult because, you don't know what to expect in these challenges. They're so like, you legit can't be good at them because they're all like all over the shop. Like one challenge could be balancing on this. The next challenge could be, you know, fire dancing. I don't know. Like they're all over the shop. So I think the fact that myself and Georgia had a good connection, strong connection, and we communicated very well. I think that's how we kind of took it out as the winners. Yeah, communication.
Communication's always a pretty good one.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And I mean, you've built a pretty good following online. I know we mentioned that before, even like before Heartbreak Island. What's been like your key to building like your personal following? Because you were still like 50,000 before the show.
So I got to 40. I just hit 40 before the show. And then, the show kind of happened. And then I bumped up like 20 or something plus 1,000. And I think the key was, is I knew the show was coming. So I had my, my phone's just blowing up. I had my Instagram kind of set for this massive flood of people and viewers. So I had my feed structured effectively so that I wasn't going to lose, you know, most of the people coming over to have a look at my page.
But the
biggest thing before the show and the reason why I gained so many followers is with that consistent effort. I was posting every 2 days. I had a rule that I had to post every 2 days and it had to incorporate a lot of color. So no black and white stuff for my feed. And it kind of had to flow. Like the person who kind of taught me all my Instagram and stuff like that was a photographer.
Yeah.
And his feed was exceptional. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to copy and paste kind of what you do, but in my own style. So I went over and made sure that there was colors here and there. And it didn't look like, a puzzle that just been dropped on the floor. It kind of flowed. And just effective captions. So trying to engage people, ask them questions. How are you talking to everyone? I think I've got the best system because I reply to every single comment on my photos and I've got these amazing followers that engage with me, every single time I post because we talk about their day, we talk about what they're up to and I love it. Like people think, like, honestly, I've had people DM me and be like, how much are you paying someone to sit there and reply to all these comments? Because there's hundreds of comments. But yeah. I just have an amazing routine where I'll just be like, post, and I'm offline for an hour. I don't talk to any of my friends. I don't talk to anyone. I just bang out all these comments for the first hour, and then I dabble in it here and there after. And then in the morning when I'm eating breakfast, I smash it out for another half hour, get all the comments done, and then I touch on it here and there throughout the day. But yeah, I think building strong relationships with your followers, like I'd even post a photo and say in my story, like, if you comment on this 3 times, I'll go through, like, all your photos and drop a couple comments. And people see so much value in that. Like, it's crazy how much value that holds. Yeah. And it's only a couple extra seconds of work. And it makes you kind of see, like, it just puts you on a better level than anyone else that they follow, because, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of people out there or thousands of people that they would follow. And the fact that you're taking the time out of your day to show them appreciation. Yeah, I think that was probably the biggest thing. It's just
giving people
the time that they give you. And I feel like that's how I grew so quickly. From 5K to 40 in however many months.
Yeah, so, yeah, it shows that you care and people love that.
Yeah, 100%. That's pretty much it. It's just giving people, just giving the people, you know, investing time in them like they invest in you. And yeah, it does well.
Yeah. And so what's the plan for the future? Keep building the sunglasses brand? You got anything else coming up that you can talk about?
So we're currently set to be the biggest sunglasses brand in the world within a couple of years. So we've got some pretty hectic game plans to make that happen. And it will happen, because I'm putting it out there now. It's happening on Josh Ryan's podcast.
You heard it here first.
That's going to happen. So going to keep smashing away at that. I've got a few things in the works at the moment, but I can't really talk about it because I signed a huge NDA that I am going to be looking at moving to America, I think, either America or England within the next couple months.
Did you move to America like a couple of years ago or not? I swear, we met before the show. Like, we talked about it on Snapchat or something, I think. I swear I saw you posting about that, like, 18 months ago.
Yeah. So I was meant to move with Reese. Move together and make that happen. But we just, because I was at uni, we just didn't, I couldn't give up all my time and invest all my time in him. That pulled the plug. But I definitely want to move to America, like, ASAP, because it's just, the opportunity there is just massive compared to, you know, New Zealand. No offense to New Zealand or anyone trying to live here, but I just think the opportunity in America and England is just, like, untouchable.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. I mean, New Zealand's like an incredible country. Like, from my point of view, I love the country. It's amazing, but there's so many more, like, forward thinking, or so many more people doing stuff as soon as you hit the US. Like, there's just so many 100%. More people out there working, starting a business. Like,
100%. Yeah. America, legit. I couldn't agree more.
Something you're going to try and do more of? Are you going to try and do more business orientated content or interview sort of thing, or mostly push the, like, fitness lifestyle sort of stuff on Instagram and have it on the side?
I love talking about business and stuff like that, but I'm no expert.
Yeah.
So I can't really give incredible advice to people because I'm still learning myself. I don't know. I guess I'll chuck it out to my followers, when this drops, and, you know, see if they listen, if they want to hear more about it or stuff like that. Because I'm essentially an open book, and as you can probably tell, I love talking. I think, it just depends what people want to listen to, and, you know, if they want to listen to me ramble on about this stuff, or if they want to listen to me, you know, or watch me make a dick out of myself on national TV. It all depends. I just do what the people want.
Yeah, makes sense. Last question. Did you drop out of uni or did you finish your degree? Do you see it?
No, I dropped out, bro. I was coming into my third year of a double degree, so I had two more to go. And it just, my friend, killing himself, and then, dramas with family and stuff like that. It all kind of just hit me at once, and it was just that exam time, and I was like, I'm not enjoying being here. I'm not happy. And this incredible opportunity kind of came up for Heartbreak Island. And then I was just like, yep, you know what? This is a sign. And my mate would have wanted me to do it. So let's go crazy.
Yeah. No, that sucks to hear that. But it's good that at least you've turned things around now and things are going better. Seems like you're killing it.
There's positivity in everything. And there's a reason kind of why stuff happens.
Yeah.
And you just have to, look into it and trust the process, as they say.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. So where can people find you?
Instagram? So,
you do Facebook? Yeah, not really.
I do Facebook. So my Facebook is Harry Jowsey and my Instagram is at Harry Jowsey. And my sunglass brand is called Kensington. If you want to have a look or if you want to have a chat about the podcast today or any questions, I am an open book and I will do my best to respond. As Josh knows, I suck at responding at times.
You're not too bad. You're not too Some people get to 20,000 followers and then they get all arrogant about not responding forever and it's like, you seem pretty good. And we'll link those below. If people want to click those and go check out your stuff. Yeah, awesome to have you on, man. And we'll link that below and we'll be in touch soon.
Legend. Thank you so much.